This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, good evening, everyone. This is the regularly scheduled monthly meeting of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission. Today is June 21st, 2022. It is roughly 7:02 p.m. Would all everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Estwan.
Here.
Steve Jalowick.
Excused.
Yes. Yeah. David Kopchansky.
Here.
Raul Sanchez.
Here.
Albert Miskiewicz.
Here.
Raymond Sadlick. Gino Di Giovanni.
He's excused. He's in a Board of Aldermen subcommittee meeting. He'll be late.
Michael Fratterola.
Here.
Dan Blisman.
Here.
Okay, we'll move on to the item number four, additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. I do not have any this evening. Communications. I don't have any communications this evening. I have not been to City Hall to see if we had anything delivered to us these past several months, but I didn't receive anything via email. And we'll move on to item number six, public portion. Is there anybody from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody from the public?
Yes.
Right here.
Come on, Tom, it's been a few minutes.
Tom Linetti. Okay. Tom Linetti, 79 Sunset Drive, Derby. First of all, Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you for having this meeting online, because today I went to go to the Aldermatic meeting on a very important topic. And I went to click on and there's no meeting. And it was like 5 minutes before the meeting. So I couldn't even get to City Hall. So I called the mayor and he says, oh, no, we're all done. We're the last city that's been online and everybody's going to meet in person. Well, apparently he doesn't know that we're not meeting in person. But could you kindly let me know or let us know when we're going to not have it online anymore so we can attend the meetings?
As I've told everybody in the past, and I will tell everybody for the future, there'll probably be hybrid meetings. They'll be online and in person in City Hall when the Board of Alderwomen releases the Aldermanic Chambers to the various boards, commissions in town. We'll be more than happy once they set it up. We'd be more than happy to share that with you, but there will still be an online portion of it because we'll use the TV and the if there has to be cameras involved. Just to let everybody know that there will be something hybrid, but that I have not heard anything to date that has been released to us.
Shut them up. This game. All right, Ted, thank you for that.
No problem.
Gino Di Giovanni, I hear that he's going to be representing us.
Yes.
Very good appointment, whoever made that appointment. Now I'm going to get to 8B. Who's Ruth? What's a house? Where's the house? And about
Ruth's battered house, we have on as a receipt of applications because I really didn't know where to put it, just to let you know. So I put it on as an informal discussion because we will have an informal discussion on the matter because, and I'm sure you'll find everything out at that time.
And if I have a question, could I ask that?
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Thank you.
Be careful, Mr. Chairman, that it's not necessarily scheduled for a public hearing yet. So
okay.
It would be up to the applicant would have to give some consent.
I'm not a public hearing. I mean a question. If they're saying something, I want to know what the heck's going on if I got a question. I always have that right, to reserve the right public on an item.
It has not been scheduled for a public hearing. So now would be the time if you have any question.
All right. Then I have to question. I don't know nothing about it. That's ridiculous. I can't do it. All right. Well, thank you. But I think the chairman might let me speak. Right, chairman?
I've been very good about letting anybody, if you come to the meeting, I let you speak and you know.
Thank
that.
You then. Okay. Just rather than getting an argument, that's good.
Thanks,
okay.
Tom.
Thank you, Teddy.
Okay. Would anybody else from the public like to address the commission at this time?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
It's Gino Di Giovanni. I just want to let you know that I'm here. 706.
Hi, Gino. Thank you.
Same here.
Patrick Manoffi wants to speak.
Go right ahead. And
71 and a half. 71 and a half.
Hold on, Pat. For the record, Raymond Sadlick is also attended this meeting, and he's present right now. Yeah. Go ahead, Pat.
All right. I own a property at 71 and a half Park Avenue. And right next to me is 75 Park Avenue. And I'm very familiar with the property since it was part of my uncle's estate. It was a storage building. I've been going through this for at least 6 years with it's basically just turned into a junkyard. I've complained. I started this process again last year, August 5th with Sarah Carey. October 5th, she told me they started finding the owner. December 30th, she said the fines were up to $8,600. And we're now 173 days later, and the fines would be $25,900. I don't care about the fines. There's two big storage yards, storage dumpsters. There's six cars. It's basically Daddy-O's from Seymour right next to my house. And I talked to Mr. DeCenzo about it, and he says, I take pictures. We're talking to the owner. But it's just, it's a complete and utter mess down there. And I've gone through this for so many years, and it's honestly ridiculous. I want to see what's going to go on with this, because it's insane, the stuff that goes on down there. Thank you.
The best I can do is tell you, Mr. Manoffi, we'll look into the matter and we'll report back for next month to you, because this is the first I've heard of it. It's coming.
Yeah, I'll be back next month too. I'll be back every month from now.
Mr. Manoffi, this is Gino DiGiovanni speaking. What was the address again, please?
It's 75
Park Avenue.
Okay, 75 Park Avenue. Okay, thank you, sir.
He's at 71 and a half Park Avenue, correct?
Right. Yep. Right. It's off of B Street, end of B Street, left interior lot.
Okay.
It's Daddy-O's. Trust me. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Gino. Would anybody else from the public like to address the commission at this time? Is there anybody else from the public? With that, we'll close the public hearing, the public portion, and we'll move on to approval of minutes of the 2/15/22 regular meeting. I believe I sent everybody the minutes to that meeting. Thank you, Karen. Is there a motion to approve the minutes? Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Made. Is there a second? Is there a second to that motion?
I second that.
Made and seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Karen, I'll abstain because I was not present at the meeting. Okay, we'll move on to the next item. Item number 8, receipt of applications. 8A is from Leon Espinoza Ortega and Karen Espinoza, 213 Caroline Street. Site plan application to renovate the existing two-bedroom apartments and add two additional two-bedroom apartments. I believe this is what you were talking about, Dominic?
Yes, just very briefly, Attorney Dominic Thomas, Conan Thomas, 315 Main Street, Derby, Connecticut, representing the applicant. We just filed this application. I assume the application is going to be forwarded to staff for its review. And
yes, we'll
make a full presentation at the July meeting. The only thing I would request, since my client is anxious to move forward with this project, which I think is compliant, is that we receive any reports ahead of time to the July 9th, I believe it's 19th meeting, I believe, so that we can appropriately address this application and hopefully get an action on the 19th.
Okay, thank you very much, Attorney Thomas. Ryan, a site plan application, public hearing or not?
Mr. Chairman, I believe based on the density of 5 units over, 0.4 acres, Dominic?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't trigger the need for a public hearing because a permitted use in the zone in the CDD allows for up to 20 units per acre. Anything beyond 20 between 20 and 70 units per acre would trigger a special exception, and 5 units over 0.4 acres would not trigger that special exception criteria.
I move that we receive the application and put it on the agenda for next month. Is there a second?
Second that.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll see you next month, Dominic. And we'll make sure that we get any reviews sent out to you ahead of time.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Item number 8B, Roots House, Inc., 99 Academy Hill Road, site plan application, a 501(c) nonprofit organization to provide a home for young single moms and their children where they receive emotional, spiritual, and physical, learn life skills, and transition into permanent stable living. Informal discussion. Okay, is there somebody from the applicant here at this time?
Yes, this is
okay. There's been a finding by our planner as to what this entails. There's his interpretation of what it should meet. Does it meet these specific terms? And the three terms were there will be no more than 6 residents plus staff receiving mental health or addiction services. There is support from the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, and the facility is licensed by the Department of Public Health. If you would see otherwise, then I just like, hold on 1 second. I just like to hear from the applicant what this entails. Does it meet that criteria or what exactly you're trying to do here?
Okay, good evening, Commissioners. This is Attorney Diane Lord at Willinger PC, and I'm representing Roots House Incorporated. With me today is Gene Corman, who's the founder and president, as well as Mary Sampson, Marcella Lawson, Lauren, and Eric Cordwell. Roots House is a 501(c)(3) not-for-profit corporation. They are under contract to purchase the property at 99 Academy Hill Road. They're proposing a home there for young single moms, 4 maximum, and there will be one other staff person residing there to coordinate the events going on there. Well, not events, rather, just the living situation. They expect the residents to stay, approximately 2 years, basically so that they could get on their feet and find a place to live and be gainfully employed, et cetera. There will be a strict screening process involved. They there's no addiction or substance abuse problems. That's not gonna be acceptable. This is not a halfway house. This is not somewhere where there's going to be any treatment for mental health or addiction issues. They are there to participate and live as a family. The residents will share in all the meal preparations, will share in the planning of the meals, will share in the care of the children, will share in events that you're getting them outside to get some exercise, et cetera. It's not a place that needs the license that is referred to. There will be one resident there, basically like the house mother, if you wish to call it that, but not a licensed therapist or anything like that. The residents there will have curfews to the extent that they have to be home for mealtime.
Did you want one?
Et cetera, and be back at the residence if they're going out to work or to go visit somebody. Therefore, it is our opinion that it's a permitted under your regulation as a family household.
Come, sit in.
And then I would request that you make that determination that it's a group family household because it does not fit within the definitions that require the state approval. It's just not. And we're happy to take any questions you may have of myself or the members of the Roots House that are here with me.
One of the questions or concerns that we had is I understand what you're trying to do. It's a good thing. It's not determining this commission whether it's good or bad use. Personally, I think the person is doing a good deed, but I'm just trying to find out where it fits within the town of Derby, if it fits in the residential zone of where you want to put it. If it doesn't, does it require a zone text or a zone change? And does this commission in favor of that? Because then it opens up to allow this use anywhere in the town. So we're just trying to figure out, we don't even know if we have any regulatory statutes that we can regulate this against. We don't know if you need to be before us or not. I'm just trying to find out, again, what the use is. Does it fit? If it's allowed, period, then you wouldn't need to come before us. You can just.
And that's what I would agree with that. It's a residential property. The use fits within your definition of a group family household and your zoning regulations. It is going to be treated as a family with these, you know, these four individuals and the member of the Roos house there. So no, I don't think we need to be before you, but there was that the email from your consultant there indicating that we were some other use, which we disagree with.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on the Roots House. If they're a 501c3, does that mean once they purchase the property, are they exempt from paying, you know, taxes, mm-hmm. property tax, so forth and so on? Or
yes, sir.
They are exempt.
Yes, they will be.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question?
Sure.
Ma'am, you said that the average stay would be 2 years. People would be living in this residence.
Essentially, that's what we're hoping for, that we won't have to go too far beyond the 2 years. Because the goal is to have these women come with their, you know, they're young women, they're young children, they're single, they need to get on their feet in order to be able to, you know, to leave and get their own place and be able to take care of their children or child. So we are expecting and hoping that we can accomplish that within a 2 year period. It could be sooner, but more than likely it's going to be much closer to the 2 year mark there.
Okay, but you anticipate that some of these people may be moving out earlier than 2 years. So it's not a fixed time period, in other words.
Correct, right. Correct. But although it has to be, they want it to be at least, 180 day period.
So there would be a minimum of 180 days that
we can't strictly enforce that. If the young woman, you know, get a job or need to relocate or for whatever reason, we're not going to keep them there. But but generally, that would probably be the minimum for them to get on their feet.
Okay, thank you.
And I have another question, and I'll direct this towards Barbara Schellenberg, our attorney. We went to our town planner to see how to legislate this, and he came back with three things that Roots House should meet. And does it meet all three? And if not, then it can't be permitted in R3 zone. And he specifically states that. And
right.
So that's what I'm trying to find out now.
The thing is, the reason I asked the questions I asked is, I believe that when Vince McDermott was originally looking at this, he was expecting or his understanding was that the people who would be living in this house would be there for relatively short periods of time, I think. Was that your understanding as well, Ryan? More like a couple of months, maybe that type of thing.
Yes, that's correct.
I think the question is, we have to determine first, now, based on this new information that we're getting, whether this use does fit within the definition of a permitted use under the regulations. If it does, then as was discussed, they don't need to come before the commission. If it doesn't, then you're Mr. Chairman, you're absolutely right, then they would have to meet the requirements of the statute, section 83E, which we've been told they do not meet. So correct, you definitely do not meet the criteria in the statute, right? So the question is whether this is a permitted use or not. And I don't think we can answer that question right off the bat tonight. I think this is gonna require a little bit of research to determine.
And that's why it's an informal discussion, because we're trying to find this out to see how we should proceed. Because it's like you said, if it's a permitted use, then they don't need us. Then it's permitted. They can go about their business and do whatever they do. And it's right. Permitted. If it's not, they'll have to come before us in some other manner. Which
correct. And you're right. They could file a text amendment application.
We're trying to give them the proper direction to move right. forward, because they're right. anxious to move forward. They just want to know how, because they don't want to buy a piece of property that they can't do anything with. And I understand that there's no question about it. And if it's a permitted use, let them go before a zoning enforcement officer and let them get a permit and move on. If they need to do something else, then it needs to come before this commission in the form of an application in some way, shape or form. Then we need to direct them that this is what they need to do in order for it to work in that zone. And do we as a commission want that to work in that zone for whatever reason that it's before us? So I'm just trying to give them some guidance now.
Sure. And I don't think it's going to take very long. I think we just, as I said, we have to look at the specific language of the regulation, consider these specific circumstances, particularly with the time periods we've been given now, and make a determination from a legal perspective whether this fits into the definition of a permitted use.
Ted.
And we'll go from there.
Yes, sir.
Just being that this is an informal discussion, because I don't know this is necessarily our place on this board to even ask this question, but Gino's question made me think of it. I think it puts an interesting situation that property taxes for this property go away and you're going to have at least four kids at any time in there. Are those kids going to be one establishing, you know, permanent residence there while they're living there, which I would assume yes. And two, are they going to be going to Derby schools?
A couple things, Dan. Highest and best used for this property. It takes it off the tax rolls. Is it the best use for the property? It might be something they're permitted to do by right, and then we have no say in whatever they want to do. So, you know, if they don't, then they need to come before us in some manner where we could legislate on their application. But they need to know what that application is, and we need to tell them, or whether it's a right of permitted use that has been determined. What I'm holding in front of me is they don't meet the criteria for the permitted use, but they brought to us new information now because somebody finally reached out to talk to them.
I understand that. And you know, I do think it's worth saying, I think what you guys are doing is a great thing. And it's a great thing for young single moms. I after what Gino said, see the potential for, you know, maybe up to 8-10 kids or whatever would be at a minimum of four kids that are going to be not a burden, but a financial burden on Derby schools with no taxes coming out of that property for it.
And again, if it's something they're permitted as of right, then they can go ahead and do whatever they want and buy the property. If it's something they have to apply to this commission, what is it they're applying for? Are they applying for a zone text change, a zone change? Are they applying for... They may not want to do that. They might want to find elsewhere, or they might want to do that and say, this is perfect for us. Let's take a shot and go for it. But we have to tell them what to do. And we're trying to determine that.
Barbara, it's Gino DiGiovanni.
Yes, Gino.
Yes.
How long would you think it would take to gather some information to get them an answer on where they should, or what application to file, or where we go from here? Is it going to be a lengthy process?
No. Okay. I don't think more than a week.
Okay. Because I think that, you know, we need to find out where we go from here. Number one, as a board, and then kind of point them in the right direction and see if it's something that they want to entertain or go from there.
Yep.
It doesn't necessarily need to come back to us, right?
If it's determined that it is an as of right use and they can buy it and move forward, then they don't need to come before back before this board. Right. They can just
they might not have to wait their for business. The next meeting is what I'm getting.
Exactly. Okay, exactly.
If I might add one thing with Mr. Blitzman's concern.
Sure.
The women that we expect to have there have infants. They're not going to be generally school age children. That would be a very rare occasion. As I said, they're young mothers with these new babies who need to figure out how to go about their lives with these new children.
Right. And again, it's not our job.
It's not our job to determine whether the use is a good use or what you're trying to do is very, very helpful and noble to society. It's just to determine, does it fit for Derby in the way it stands now, or doesn't it? You know, that's our determination.
Try to stick to zoning questions.
Yes, exactly.
I'd like to ask a few of the
applicants. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. You mentioned that the property would be occupied by a supervisor. And how many occupants?
Four young women and a child.
And how many children?
Generally, there will be, each woman will have one child.
One child. Okay, yeah. So that's a total of nine people?
Right.
Okay, it's over six.
Yes.
Okay. Another question is the property served by public sewer and public water?
Yes, sir. Oh, sure. No, I'm sorry. I have to take that back. It has a well.
Yeah.
Public sewer and a well.
A well. Okay. That's all.
Well, shall I just look forward to hearing from you, Barbara?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get in touch with you directly.
Appreciate it.
And if you could send your findings along to the commission so we can all,
of course, yes,
see it, we would appreciate that. Thank you, Barbara. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I just have a question.
Go ahead, Al.
Could you just provide us with if you have any statistics, if this is a needed service in our community? Because if it is, then I think we have to say, if we're not going to put in an R3 zone, where would we put it? You know,
to Jane Corman here, who's the founder and president of Ruth's House.
Hello. So I'm going to read it because I'm not good with numbers. I don't ever memorize. But over 37% of households in New Haven County are single parent households. 16.8 of every 1,000 births in the state were born to teenage moms. One in three of those families live in poverty. And only half of the teen moms get their diploma, and less than 2% of teen moms ever get a degree. So it's a big percentage of young women trying to raise children on their own, and they really need the help. I was talking to a young mom this week, and she can't get a job because she doesn't have childcare, and she can't get childcare because she doesn't have a job. So the system is kind of doesn't really help them get on their feet. So we want to help them get on their feet, give them the support so that they can learn what they need to and then go out and live the independent lives.
And Al, again, I'll say it again. Ours is not to legislate whether it's a good use or not. Ours is to legislate, does it fit in this zone or not? And if it does, and it's a permitted use, they can go about their business. If not, we will directly applicant in the proper way if we would want it in this zone or not, because they have targeted a piece of property that they would like to for this service to be used. Does it fit? Do they need a text change? We have to direct them in the proper way that we think and we see fit that they should apply if they want to. Or as Barbara said, she may, her findings may be, you don't need it. And Dave asked specific zoning questions, how many people, and you know, for how long public, and whether it's served by city water and sewer or not. He asked very specific pointed questions and to help Barbara in making her determination. So it's not whether we like it, does it fit somewhere? This is where they targeted. Does it fit, or how would they go about getting it to fit? And do we want it to fit in that zone? It's very simple. It's very basic. And that's why I asked for an informal discussion, because I wanted to find a little bit more about this application. Yes, Ryan.
Ted, I just wanted to ask Mark Garofalo. I got Vince McDermott on the, he's on the call, but he can't unmute. I don't know if that's a setting that Mark has control over, but Vince is unable to unmute.
I saw he was having trouble getting in. It might be his, he might need to just log out and try again. The only thing I could say, ask him to do is unmute. He has to unmute himself.
He's unmute, yeah.
Might have to go back in and out. That's what happened to me.
All right. Well, he can hear us, but
sometimes if you're on Wi-Fi, sometimes it doesn't work. He might turn the video off and try unmuting that way. Ben, if you could hear.
I see him now. But again, it shows that he's muted and there's no unmute button.
In the lower left is it unmute, it should be.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna mute and turn off my video for a second and give him a quick call. If that's okay, Ted. If
we sure, can hang go on ahead.
For 1 minute.
I'm gonna try hitting the space bar.
Vin, did you hear Dan? Try to hit the space bar when you're speaking. That could work too.
Hey, I, for one, can't wait for in-person meetings.
All they have to do is tell me how they're going to do it. And there'll be a hybrid type of meeting, I'm sure.
The state of Connecticut doesn't require hybrid anymore if we go back to in-person, Mr. Chairman.
It seems to work as a hybrid, and I like the concept of having both, but they have to tell me how are they going to set it up?
We don't have the – we're still waiting
to protect the audience and the members.
The equipment has been installed. We're waiting for a few more parts.
Thank you.
And then we need to do some training. So
okay.
The parts are on a container in the middle of the ocean.
Ted, I have another question for Barbara.
Go ahead.
Okay. Barbara?
Yes.
We have two definitions in our zoning regulations.
Okay.
That relate to this use. Could I finish,
Ryan? I'm sorry, Dave. Sorry, Dave.
One is group family household, and the other is group care facility. Mm-hmm. Could you look at those definitions and see if either one of them fits in with the use that's being proposed here?
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take a look at the regulations and see if this will fit anywhere. Okay. And if, you know, again, if is it permitted as of right? If it does fit, is it something they would have to come back for?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the fundamental question, and this is, I just spoke with Vince on the phone, from a zoning perspective, is what is the definition of family in the regulations, and how does this use fit or not fit with that definition? If it fits with that definition, then it's permitted by right. If it doesn't fit by that definition, then it starts to get more complicated.
Right, I agree with that. And again, I think the main issue, or certainly one of the main things we were looking at, was whether this would be a transitory situation. And again, we've been given more new information tonight, or we had an understanding that perhaps was incorrect from the beginning, but we certainly were under the impression that this would be a living situation, not like a hotel, but that these people would not be residing in this house for more than a couple of months. So, you know, that's what, one of the main things we have to take a look at.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave, for your input.
And I have one more question for
the applicant. Go
ahead. Hi. What services do you anticipate will be provided to the residents at the building?
Mainly there will be, I'm gonna let Jane do that.
Yeah, so we are going to be providing them with just education and life skills, like financial education, how to keep a budget and all of that, how to cook nutritious meals, how to shop for good food when you have a budget. All that kind of stuff, and job training so that they can be equipped to go out and live independent lives.
And those services will be provided on site?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are all things that you do within a household, you know?
Okay.
Okay, Barbara, is there any other questions you want to ask the applicant?
I don't think so. And, you know, if something comes up when I'm researching this, I can always call and you know, inquire separately. So that's not, I don't think that's an issue.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for the applicant from any commission members? Any other questions? Okay, you'll hear from Barbara probably by the end of next week, and so will the commission members to put in writing, and she'll send it along to you. Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the clarification, and thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay. With that, we'll move on to item number 8C, receipt of applications. Cody Savoy, 34 Derby Neck subdivision application, to subdivide map 11 lot 8 to create one building lot. Is there somebody from the applicant here to address the commission at this time?
Yes.
Cody.
Cody Savoy, 41 Great Hill Road.
Before I receive it, go ahead.
Say again, Chairman.
Okay, we'll receive the application, and then under 9A new business, we'll have it. We'll have you talk to us a bit about what you're trying to accomplish this evening, okay? Is there a motion to receive this application?
So moved.
Motion's made. I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to number 9A. New business, Cody J. Savoy, 34 Derby Neck Road, subdivision application to subdivide map 11, lot 8 to create one building lot. Okay, Cody, it's all yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Cody Savoy, representing James Savoy, we're the owners of this parcel. Some of you may be familiar with the variance that was filed for this parcel last March, I believe, eliminating the need for a 50-foot setback. The proposed condition will be to replace the barn that was there with a single family dwelling unit. Taking 1.27 acres away from the farm. The rest of the farm remains a farm. And I guess to be clear about this, the only reason that any of this is happening is a formality with banking and insurance and things like that to protect the farm. All right, that's the sole intent of the owner is to maintain this property for agricultural use, to be clear. I would ask that the city waive the necessity for any easements for road widening and waive the necessity for any open space or parks or so on and so forth due to the rural and rustic nature of the parcel. And that it's, I think that, and Ryan and Mr. Chairman, correct me if I'm wrong, that that language is more for traditional subdivision rather than breaking off a small piece from a big parcel, right?
Roughly how much is left over that's going to be agriculture or remain a farm, so to speak?
On this one parcel, 68 acres, there is a parcel that we own on the other side of Derby Neck Road, north side, and then another parcel in Seymour that all make up the farm.
Okay. Is there any questions from any members for the applicant at this time?
I have one.
Go ahead, David.
Cody, why is this considered a subdivision and not a free lot split?
Ryan, correct me if I get off here a little bit, but a piece has been split since 1970 along Collins Hill Road. There was a small split off from
just one lot was split off.
I don't know. It was a little before my time.
The reason I'm asking the question, and Ryan will chime in on this too, because this may in fact be a re-subdivision rather than a subdivision application. And the difference being a re-subdivision application requires a public hearing. And an ordinary subdivision doesn't.
So I believe, Mr. Chairman, that the parcel that was cut off was subdivided on its own. So it wasn't subdivided as part of the original property. There was a lot split, and then that lot split further subdivided. So that's separate from this piece. So we went from simple lot split to subdivision.
So you're saying we went from a lot split to a subdivision as opposed to from a subdivision to the need for a re-subdivision, as right. David pointed out.
So for example, the parcel that was split off, okay. That parcel that was split off was subdivided on its own. So that parcel became now two totally separate parcels. And what remained on the farm is what you see today as the remnant of a split.
Okay.
So any further development, one more lot on this property would trigger a re-subdivision, which would trigger a public hearing.
Okay.
So based on what I've seen, Dave, I don't believe this qualifies as a sub.
So Mr. Chairman, they have to file a subdivision just to box out 1.2 and change acres to rebuild the barn that's there?
From what I understand from Cody, it's not their undertaking. It's for the banks. Somebody is asking for this specifically to get this done so it shows that he's subdivided this one parcel and the rest remains as farmland. That's why I asked how much is left as farmland.
Yeah. Okay. No, I just want to, I mean,
right.
It's got to do with liabilities on the bank. That's what they're concerned about is that they don't want to take on excess of liability.
Right.
As that sounds, you know.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that you don't have to do more work than you have to on our part. That was for my question. You know.
You know. Thank you. I appreciate it. Dave. Were you satisfied with the explanation of the subdivision versus re-subdivision and lot split?
If the original cutoff of that property was just one lot, and that lot was subsequently subdivided, that was already a separate lot.
Right.
This lot that Cody wants to create would constitute the third piece.
No.
From the original piece.
No. When you have one property, let's say 100 acres,
right,
and you split off 2 acres, okay,
yep.
And that 2-acre lot down the road, they do their own subdivision.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a separate parcel at that point. You have parcel A and parcel B.
That's what I just said.
No, but parcel B
is no longer part of parcel A. So parcel B gets split. That is independent of parcel A. So parcel A now gets its first cut at the subdivision. So both parcel A and parcel B get a shot at subdivision. If they had started off, Dave, with parcel original parcel
free split.
No, the free split created the original the lot down at Collins Hill that subsequently subdivided on its own. So you now have the split created the lot on Collins Hill. You have parcel A and parcel B. Parcel B subdivided on its own. If parcel B was subdivided as part of the original property, then you've got a point. But it was split off, then subdivided. So what's left with this parcel is now a subdivision for this parcel.
Well, my question, the definition of a subdivision is the creation of three or more lots in a single piece.
Right.
So the first piece is the original piece, okay? Then that split that happened in 1970 was the second piece. This is the third piece.
No. It's pretty simple. If you now have parcel A and parcel B with the split, okay? Yes. Parcel A and parcel B are now completely separate. What parcel B does after that point has no bearing on what's left of parcel A.
Okay.
So if parcel A were originally subdivided into three, so now you have parcels A, B, and C, then you'd be correct. Then it would be a re-subdivision.
If you're treating them totally separate, then why isn't he entitled to a free split?
Because the free split already occurred. The free split already occurred. And that free split, parcel B floated, went off and did their own thing. And they subdivided their parcel. So that what they did in parcel B, let's just say, I'm making up these
things. Well, yeah, that doesn't matter, right.
What parcel B did has no bearing on parcel A. Mm-hmm.
I'll take what's behind parcel A, Mr. Chairman, for 500.
Dave's got a point. Statutorily, if it's a re-subdivision, it has to go to public hearing.
I understand his point. I'm asking why it doesn't have to or not. Yeah. You understand.
Yeah.
So it sounds like Cody is well within his limitations to apply for this.
And his request for waiver, just so you know, for the purposes of the right-of-way, there's a provision in your subdivision regulations that require on a subdivision, on a road that's substandard with respect to right-of-way width, that the applicant provide their portion of the adequate right-of-way width. So in other words, 25 feet from the center line of the road. So it'd be a 50-foot right-of-way in this case. Now, the problem with that lot is you do have some barn sheds and barns that have been reconstructed, but have more or less been as they are located for probably over 100 years, Cody?
I would say at least 100 years at this point.
So you've got a very rural road, you've got a very rural farm road, and widening the right-of-way there would put a widened right-of-way through those sheds. So I think that would be something that we would support a waiver on, just to maintain the rural nature and character of that road, because what he's doing, what he's trying to do, doesn't create any new building lots, doesn't create any new from what's there today. It's as simple as it gets, I guess, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
And what he's trying to do is carve out this one building lot, so whatever I won't use the term variance that we give him is for this particular one lot and not for everything. He'll have to come back before the commission if they want to do something with a piece of the farm, right? Okay. Right.
So do we, Mr. Chairman, so do we have to make it specific that how do I say it, that we don't require the open space for this one lot as well, or how does that work?
I could draft a motion for the commission's consideration where I include language about waivers granted for lot one only.
Yeah.
Subsequent applications would be subject to all the requirements of the subdivision regulations.
Okay.
Right. And I have that in front of me now, which does incorporate those variances or waivers. Waiver. Don't use the term variance. Waiver for this specific lot only and not the entire farmland. And one of the reasons, and I'll ask the commission, open space. I would, 68 acres of farmland is more than enough. It's not open space, but it is open space. Particularly it is open space. I don't think we need to ask for more open space on top of the farm, so to speak.
Agreed.
Okay.
And the percentages required by the subdivision regulations.
Yeah.
A minuscule.
Right. Exactly, Dave. We're talking one house.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Okay. All right. Is there any other questions from the commission members for the applicant at this time? Okay. I do have a motion here and I'll read it into the record. There's no public hearing to close. This was a discussion and possible action, and I read this into the minutes right now. It's 34 Derby Neck Road, Highland View Farm, application for subdivision. Following review of the plans and supporting documentation submitted in support of this application, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby approves the subdivision application on property shown on Derby Assessor's Map 11-8, Lot 12, subject to the following conditions. 1, the application for approval of subdivision, resubdivision, adjacent property owners of proposed building lot, copy of filed variance granted by Derby ZBA, email from Naugatuck Valley Health Department dated May 19th, 2022, SSDS plan approval from Naugatuck Valley Health District dated November 8th, 2011, map entitled subdivision map Highland View Farms, prepared for James E. and Shelley M. Savoy, 41 Derby Neck Road, Derby, Connecticut, dated June 16th, 2022. Plans entitled 34 Derby Neck Road, Derby, Connecticut, dated July 6th, 2021, revised to June 1st, 2022 by Cody Savoy, PE, with the following stipulated conditions. This approval includes a waiver of the street widening requirements of section 3-65 and the parks and open space requirement in section 3-11 of the subdivision regulations. These waivers only pertain to the creation of lot one. Subsequent subdivision applications for the remainder of the parcel shall be subject to all the requirements of the subdivision regulations. Prior to the endorsement by the chairman and the conveyance of any lots from the owner, the filing of subdivision map and all approved easements, agreements, deed restrictions, et cetera, shall be filed on the Derby land records in accordance with the general statutes of the state of Connecticut. The subdivision map shall be reviewed for compliance by the zoning enforcement officer, the city engineer, and corporation counsel prior to filing on the Derby land records. The subdivision map shall be revised in accordance with section 3-5 of the subdivision regulations to state this is not an approved building lot for the land to be retained as agricultural and to add the following approved by Derby Planning and Zoning Commission chairman date. Any significant changes or modifications to the plans presented will require subsequent review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. That is the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Mr. Chairman. Gino DiGiovanni.
Made and seconded. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Okay. Good luck, Cody.
Thank you.
A copy of this application of this decision shall be sent to you from Ryan McAvoy, correct, Ryan?
Yes.
Okay. Item number 9B, appointment of Gino DiGiovanni as Derby P&Z representative to NVCOG. This was at the request of the mayor. This was an appointment at NVCOG, which has been, we haven't had a member on there for years. So we'd like to have Gino DiGiovanni as a member of the NVCOG, because, and aside from being on this board, he's also on the Board of Aldermen, and we think it would be a natural fit. So I move that we appoint Gino DiGiovanni as a member of the NVCOG and the Derby PCC representative on that board. Is there
happily,
a second?
Happily second that.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Gino, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Business. Okay, old Gino. Business. Payment of bills. Motion to pay bills if deemed correct.
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to adjourn. Second. Okay. I'll second that. Good luck, gentlemen. Nice to see everyone again. Thank you, Barbara, for your attendance. We'll see you next month. Take care.
Did we hear from Vince?